morning. Thank you for responding so I know the mic is on. I'll share that I'm wearing a suit and a jacket this morning so that you can't see me sweat. I'm much more comfortable in front of students than I am adults, so when we dismiss the children through age six, part of my audience goes. My maturity level may be there. But I'd like to thank you and thank Pastor John for the opportunity to share with you this morning. And also acknowledge that there were a few times that John voiced that I didn't need to deliver a full sermon. As we've been blessed with a number of reports, ministry reports, on how the Lord is at work in and through those that are here today, he said, you know, just you don't need to cover all that time. There's only so long these people can sit. He encouraged me to take about 30 minutes. I don't know whether that's because in prior times when I've preached, it's been a little longer. My wife, on the other hand, said, target 20. That way I might not hit 40, was her thought. So if I go long, please know that they tried on your behalf to keep me brief. Also, know that I did make an effort, and I hope that it is evident. But before I begin this morning, will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together, Lord, to do so freely here. And Lord, we thank you for all that we have had a chance to see and hear, that you are at work in and through those in the body here at First Baptist, Lord, and that you are using them to touch lives around the world. Lord, we do just ask and pray that as we investigate your word, that whatever I share that is not from you would fall on deaf ears. But Lord, that which we need to hear, Lord, that which is from you would penetrate deep this morning. So Lord, bless our time by speaking to us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. And if at any point you see my heart pounding outside my chest, I apologize for that. So what I'm going to share with you comes out of some experiences that we had at Black Forest Academy this year. And earlier in the summer, I had reported out to you that we had a tough year. That's just where we were. We had the trauma of asking students to leave our community for a variety of reasons, and our community is tight, that was traumatic for many, staff and students alike. We experienced it both. Staff and students were bearing the weight of the concerns, being away from loved ones, of family and friends who had health issues, who lost those they cared for and went through other personal crises. As a community, we went through difficult situations as we learned to live together and work together. We're a close-knit community. The Lord calls a different group together each year, and there's a dynamic that we need to come and understand. Similar to what Barbara and Kathy shared, how is that team going to work out? We have to navigate that. And so we had to go through that, and we had to adapt to various personalities and perspectives. We did walk alongside each other through challenging times for the staff and students dealing with depression, acts of self-harm, poor behavioral choices, and even those resisting God and any correction. And there were times when I would literally walk into work, and within minutes, my schedule for the day would be gone, would have to be cleared so that we could deal with yet another issue, yet another concern. And that was a challenge. They felt relentless by our staff. There were times when Christmas break came, and Christmas break was needed to come. We saw that as a gift of the break so that we could rest and get restoration through that. And when there was a quiet day, a normal day, there was an apprehension of perhaps waiting for the next shoe to drop. What would that look like? And I know that we're not alone in this. This wasn't just Black Forest Academy. This wasn't just us. We do stay in contact here. We get the e-bulletin and the prayer chain. So we know these types of attacks and challenges were experienced here at First Baptist as well. We know that this community faced caring for loved ones and losing them, faced challenging health diagnoses as we prayed this morning and walking through that treatment, faced difficult work situations and challenges with loved ones who aren't walking with the Lord. So we know we're not alone. We know that the trials that we face, the challenges we faced are faced by many others. And I'm here, and I hope that what I share will make sense, first of all, with my train of thought. Sometimes that doesn't always happen, but I also hope that it will help you as it did us. There are times when I go through these challenging times and I lose sight of the truths that I'll share with you. I get caught up in the moment and want to solve things. I'm a guy, I want to fix something. I don't want to just sit and listen at times, which is maybe all that needs to be done. I want to get up and fix it, and that isn't always the answer. So there are times I've lost sight of the truths that I'm going to share, and these truths, these reminders are not going to be new for many of you. They're not original, but they are profound. They are statements of truth nonetheless. So I hope that as I share, this will work, this will help. I'd like to utilize the following verse, and this verse is from, I have to share with you, and I will after I read this, Paul's first letter to Timothy. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially for those who believe. The truths that I'd like to remind you of and connect with this verse this morning, I'm going to put this away, are one, I need to remind you, I needed to remember that one, we're engaged in battle. Two, that the Lord has equipped us for this battle. And best of all, that the Lord has already won this battle. We are victorious. The battle has already been won. So as we go through, and as I've come to understand and study this letter to Timothy, it's one of three that Paul wrote that are his pastoral letters, two to Timothy and one to Titus. And I come to understand that there's an intimacy that Paul is directing them as church leaders, as pastors, and here specifically he's talking to Timothy about the false teaching that's going on at the church of Ephesus. And I share this because I understand this with this letter, but I'm going to take it a little bit further, and I'm going to ask you to journey with me, if you will, a little bit away from that intimate relationship and a little bit away from him speaking specifically to a pastor, and I'm going to share that I feel that he's speaking to me and perhaps to us as a group. If I go too far, Pastor John, I apologize for the cleanup that will come later, but you're in great hands with him, so here we go. Okay. So as Paul was directing and helping Timothy deal with the false teaching, I'm going to argue that we deal with it in our world today. And that there are aspects of our society and our culture that present things that are so contrary to what is presented biblically, to what we've come to know as true. So again, while the context for this letter is different, I'm going to go, I hope I don't go too far, and I hope that you can follow my train of thought. I'll attempt to support my ideas, namely that what Paul was writing to Timothy can be extended to ourselves through other letters that Paul wrote, as he wrote to the churches in Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, and Rome. So I'm going to try to bridge those in an effort again to say that he's writing to the churches. He's writing to the people, to the believers. So hopefully you'll follow that train of thought, and hopefully it makes sense. So now, if you're here this morning and have not yet put your faith in Jesus, and I don't want to assume that everyone here has, I would ask that you listen just as well. And I'll argue that believer or not, in our fallen world, you will, and we've heard, face and experience trials. We'll have toils in our life. Perhaps you already have, and perhaps that's why you're here this morning. So I'd ask that you please continue to listen. And if I've kept your attention so far, please note that the truths that I've identified that are profound, that they can help you as well be prepared for the next challenge. And what I hope in the end, help celebrate with us the victory that you can have in Jesus. So as we're all facing challenges this year, there were times when I shared I lost sight of the truth. And I get stuck with the tyranny of the urgent. Sometime in my office, I have my day planned, and that gets disrupted by what is urgent, and I'm going to challenge that what is urgent is not always what needs to be done right away. That tyranny that is there, that false truth that is there. One of my toils this morning as I look up, my attention issues, I'm sorry, but as I look up and I see the blurry screen behind me, this is one of my trials this morning, I'm sorry. But so as we all face these, I would forget to focus on the long term, and I need to encourage you to not do what I did. All right, I would want to handle the immediate. So Paul, in his writing to Timothy, he shares this, that we're engaged in battle, we're engaged in the toils, and the passage is clear, and that would be the previous passage, and that we must persevere as we go through. And I appreciate this language, because as with so many other passages, it doesn't get sugar-coated the way the world wants to sugarcoat it today. And here for this passage, just as Jesus taught, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So here Jesus, just as Paul, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He tells us directly that we need to build our house on the rock, his word, his teaching. And because the rains are going to come, the winds are going to blow, we will, your house will take a beating. So too Paul is telling Timothy that his efforts for the gospel might lead to some challenges. He's not saying might. He's saying they will lead. And Paul has credibility. He's speaking from experience. You guys have gone through the book of Acts. And as you read through the book of Acts, you read through the fact that everywhere Paul went, he faced verbal and physical assault and challenges because of his stance for the gospel. Paul knew what it was like, and yet he still shared in his letter to the Philippians, and I'd encourage you all to review Pastor John's sermon from a couple weeks ago in Philippians chapter 1, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Through all this, I would ask us to remember that we are in battle, and that there are casualties and there are hard times. The false teaching of our day, again, does not support this. It says that we can do it on our own, that if we're good enough, if we keep trying hard enough, that we can do this. But we live in a fallen world, and we are in battle. So we should not be surprised by some of the challenging times in our life. Nor should we grow weary. And that is a challenge right there. And with this realization, we must act and demonstrate that our life is impacted by the truth that we understand we're engaged in battle. Just before this verse, Paul suggests to Timothy how he is to prepare and what he can utilize to be equipped. We are equipped for this battle if we ally ourselves with the Lord. He tells us that. And here Paul says, My Rhode Island accent is kicking in. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Within this verse, he talks about being trained in the words of the faith. Paul is talking to Timothy about the training that he's received, the good doctrine upon which that training is founded. I'll go back to Randy's sermon a couple weeks ago and talking about the blessing that First Baptist is and John's teaching here, that we are on solid ground here with the doctrine that's taught. Train yourself in godliness. We need to pursue that. It isn't just in the teaching, it's in the exercise and the practice of that. And then he calls for the promise for the present life and also for that to come. There are times in life's toils and life's challenges where we forget that it isn't just for now and the immediate. My quick fix doesn't resolve that issue. It is for the long range. We have to have clear sight down the road, not just immediately what's in front of us. So Paul reminds Timothy of these things. And I see this as a challenge that he tells Timothy to be focused, to continue to pursue, practice, and learn. And this is where, again, I'll stretch it. This direction is to me and perhaps to you. I must continue to engage in training of godliness, for the appropriate behavior. A couple weeks ago in men's prayer, Pete, is men's prayer like Vegas? Like what goes on in there stays there and stuff like that? First of all, men's prayer is a great place. I'd encourage Saturday mornings, if you can, to get there. It's a time of encouragement, unless you're Jeff Knight. You have to go to men's prayer to understand that one, or just watch Pete and Joe interact with Jeff. Either way, but men's prayer there a couple weeks ago, I'd like to just share with you what was shared there. As we were discussing just our lives, I'm pretty sure it was Pete who shared that if we're not moving forward, if we're not studying, if we're not memorizing, engaging in fellowship, if we're not serving, if we're not growing and continuing to train ourselves for the battle that we're in, if we're not doing this, some people believe that we're just standing still. But what was presented at men's prayer, and I believe the reality of it is that we're actually falling behind. We're losing ground, and we're less prepared for the next challenge that we will have to face. We must remember that we're equipped. As Paul shared with the Ephesians, I can remember Pastor John coming through with the whole Roman suit on, which I appreciated. But as he shared with the Ephesians, putting on the whole armor of God, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Where do we not grow tired or weary in the strength of his might? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Again, our world may teach us that there isn't evil, that there isn't one out there, but here it is. Stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit. We've heard already today that here there is so much prayer going on, and how much of a blessing answered prayer is. How much of a blessing we can feel that, and prayer in the Spirit will do that. These are all aspects that we are equipped to take on the battle, to equip, to handle, and get through, and navigate. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he reminds Timothy that he's equipped through his training. As he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, the training that we need, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for good work. We must be observant of the way that God has been equipping us and enabling us to win along the way. To do this, we must remember our victories. Because of who God is and his love for us, he turns our trials, our suffering, into good. As Paul shared with the Romans in chapter 8, know in all these things, if I'm matching up right, this is working out well. Know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are conquerors because of him who loved us as we put our faith in him. We must remember that because as we go through and we get weary, as the battle wages on, this is not easy. We have to remember where our strength is from. We have to remember who has equipped us, who has called us to this battle, and that with him we are conquerors. God, because of his love for us, sent Jesus. And because of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, we can be confident that God will turn our trials into good. Whether we see it or not, that's the challenge there. We always want to see our answered prayer on our time. I always want to see my answered prayer on my time. I always want to see it answered the way I see it best answered, and that's wrong of me. We need to have our faith and trust and know that it's for God's good. He's got that plan, as we heard earlier today from Julia. Thank you. If we hold to this truth, even in our trials, we can have victory. We must also remember that we're not called to do this alone. We are in community. We're in fellowship so that we can learn from encourage, support, and care for one another during those trials. Just as Paul was credible because of his experiences, we must also share our experiences. As we navigate life together, I shared that at Black Forest Academy, that's a challenge because we are really knit together. We can't get away from one another. That's a challenge at times. But here in this community and in other communities, this is the body. The Bible shares with us the different analogies to the body. We are meant to be together. So as we navigate life together, as we do this, we must both share our battles and our victories. We must celebrate our victories to hopefully encourage one another on. As Paul wrote in his opening letter to the Romans, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." I've never thought about sharing my battles and my struggles as sharing a spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. There's messiness when we live together. It's hard. It's not easy. We don't all get along. We don't mesh. We don't click. But we're called to do this together. We're called to be together so that we can encourage and support. If we're called to pray together and help each other through that, how can we truly pray if we're not engaged in the community together? So as we live together and worship together, when I look up, I'm going off script a little bit. My wife gives me that look like back onto script reminders. Thank you. Thank you. I'll get back to that later. As we live together and worship together, we are called to be in community together. That's how we live our faith out. It should be an encouragement. This is how we're equipped. It's not just by who we are alone. It's by us as a community. This is why we need church, and we need to be surrounded by fellow believers. Now, I know and I've experienced people that say they love Jesus, but they can't do the church thing because of the people. Again, it's that messiness. I shared the other night with some people about their concern of hypocrisy within the church. And I've also heard great sermons about the fact that that's going to happen because we're flawed humans. We're failures in that by ourselves. And as we navigate that by ourselves, we lose. We need to do that together because of our failures. We need to come together and gain on each other's strength and correction and advisement and prayer. So we need our church. We need our church body. And that should be an encouragement because we're not in this battle alone. We need to acknowledge that when we don't do that, we're missing out. So in an effort to follow up on this, and as I've shared with some of our trials at BFA this year, I'd also like to share some of our victories. I shared that I sometimes get caught up in the trial and lose sight. One bad apple spoils the bunch. That's my perspective. We have an assembly with our students, and one student gets out their iPhone and they're on it, and that I get derailed. I get distracted. So I need these as much as when I present them to you. It's a follow-up to sharing our trials. I want to share our victories. We had victory in spiritual growth in the lives of our students. Not all students, and I don't want to get hung up on that. We did have many. I had a chance to witness genuine ministry in our actions, in school, after school, different activities, in the dorm. There were moments of genuine ministry from the adults to the students, from student to student in our community. And that was a blessing and encouragement for me. There is obviously immaturity in all of us, but there were genuine moments there. Students, when they shared honest questions that revealed that they were honestly grappling with their life and their faith, that's a great thing. We had an opportunity to see that because they were honest in that and they were sincere. Some of those questions that Barbara and Kathy brought up, they want to know more. They have questions. That's okay. Let's open those doors. Let's talk about that. Those are great opportunities. When students and staff genuinely showed an expression of appreciation and understanding of the sacrifice that had been made by so many for them to be there, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, the love that their family has, that their senders have, their home churches have, and to see that appreciation, that understanding is exciting. And when we realize that they are actually doing their best to follow through, to make wise choices in our students, in spite of the fact that they're still struggling. We saw victory in the development of healthy teams. our staff in and of itself was, I share with you every year, there's a little bit of a challenge. It's a different dynamic. We have struggles building upon and gaining momentum because different staff members come in, they change, and they go. We had some hard conversations, and there was still victory in those, having those difficult times when we got together, and I'll share a specific one, helping a family navigate the fact that their child couldn't continue at our school. I had to sit down with that family, and this was a family that was ministering at Black Forest Academy. So me saying that their child couldn't stay at our school meant that they couldn't stay on the mission field in the role that they were in the role they were called to be in the role that they had people praying for, and in the role that the supporters and encouragement. We had to walk down that road together of all that that meant. That was a hard conversation. That was actually many hard conversations that we had as we walked to that point together. Through each one, we got together. We listened, we respected, we cared for, we demonstrated love and compassion, not just for the student, but for the parents and the dynamic roles that we're in. We prayed together, and we were able to come to the understanding of what was best, and where we were meant that the student had to leave the school and they had to leave the field. Hard, not the way I would have wanted it to be, but there was victory in that. There was victory in that restoration of the relationship with the student, with the family. There wasn't just a student who could be angry at God for kicking him out of school or angry at me for representing that. That wasn't the case. So there was victory there, and that was hard. But in the end, we have to say that was good. And we have victory in our own maturing and the sanctification processes that go on. God's not just working through us in ministry. He's working on us. He's working in us as we go through. So each year, and I'll share, my wife doesn't like me to share, I struggle because the people that work with me, in James, he tells us to find joy in your trials. And I joke that I'm sorry that I'm the trial that you have to find joy through. As your principal, as your administrator, as your leader, I joke, but it's sincere. It's a struggle when I make mistakes and it impacts others. And we have to work through those navigate those relationships. But I have to believe that through those learning process, through those challenging times, the Lord's working in and through me too. I'm not done. He's not done with me, thankfully, and I'm not done learning and growing, thankfully. And I'm excited about that. So an opportunity to see that within our staff as well. That's a victory that we have. And God is speaking to our hearts and lives, and he's in doing so in these conversations. He's driving out our self-centeredness. He's driving out our pride. He's driving out the false teaching that we can do this on our own, or he doesn't have to have all of our lives. And those were some victories that we had this year. So while we remember we're engaged in battle, we must also remember that we're equipped by his word, his teachings, and by fellow believers in our community. And lastly, and most importantly, Paul is telling Timothy, and I believe sharing with us, that we must remember that the battle is already won. Again, in verse 10, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is a Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Now, I'll briefly get into this. Some falsely claim that this verse means that everyone will go to heaven. There's a universal thought here, and that's not the case. That's not what Paul is sharing. Some people say by God being the Savior of all people, that therefore we don't have to change. We don't have to be engaged. We don't have to continue to be trained and learned and grow. Yet we know that throughout Scripture we're told that this is not the case. Paul shares earlier in the chapter, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. So Paul tells us that we won't all be united in that. And we remember that Jesus also taught in the Sermon on the Mount that we have to enter by the narrow gate. We should seek this, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So I want us to remember that Jesus won, okay? He conquered death through his resurrection. Jesus shares in the book of John, he said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Satan is a defeated foe. The fate of the universe was settled once and for all at the cross. But we are still in an ongoing battle for the hearts and minds of people, men and women, young people, children, those that we come in contact with. While Satan is lost, he is still trying to take as many with him as possible. And at the same time, God is long-suffering and not willing that we should perish, but that we should come to repentance. So the battle goes on until Jesus returns. So I want us to take our stand in the victory that we have in Christ. As we've read Scripture, as we worship together, as we pray for one another, as we share the trials and the victories, as we encourage each other to live remembering the victory we have in Christ. And so while it's easy to get discouraged at times, when we see people struggling, getting wounded, or many other times, I'd like to remind us of the words that Paul said to the church in Corinth. And here he says, "Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because that you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So these words are profound, I believe. So my reminder today, and I just went off, there we go, is that we are engaged in battle, that we've been equipped for the battle, and that Jesus has already won the battle. Will you pray with me? Father God, I do thank you for these truths, Lord. I thank you for the gift of your word that we can study so that we can be equipped. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you send to us, Lord, to help us, to strengthen us and encourage us, to equip us, Lord. I thank you for a body of believers, for a church, Lord, so we can continue to learn and grow in your word and how it is it should impact our lives. Lord, I thank you for the gift of Jesus, that through his life, death, and resurrection, Lord, that death has been conquered, Satan has been defeated. We have victory, Lord. We can have victory when we put faith and trust in him. Lord, I thank you for that ultimate gift that we do not deserve, yet because of your love we have, you offer to us, Lord. And I just pray that we would accept it with an open heart, Lord, and seek it daily. Thank you and praise you for this day, for this body and all things. In Jesus' name.